Congresswoman Pingree on federal help and state leaders on emergency response to the coronavirus crisis. Over the weekend, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the federal government is aiming to begin rolling out the new small business loans as early as this Friday. Right now, small businesses across Maine are scrambling to figure out if they qualify for loans, and if so, which ones. Individuals are also trying to figure out what kind of help they may receive and when. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will talk with U.S. Representative Shelley Pingree about the most recent federal stimulus package. We will also speak with the regional director of the Small Business Administration. In our second hour, we'll speak with the commissioners of public safety, defense, and emergency management about safety and preparedness in the coming weeks. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today we discuss the implications of the federal stimulus package signed on Friday and what it means for Maine people. This is the first segment of an extended two-hour program as Maine Calling continues to cover the pressing issues affecting Maine during the COVID-19 pandemic. In the second hour of today's program, we're going to talk with state leaders about how public safety, defense, and emergency management are dealing with the crises here in Maine. Joining me now, Congresswoman Shelley Pingree. She represents Maine's 1st Congressional District. Welcome, Congresswoman Pingree, and you're calling from home in Maine, right?
I am, yes, and thank you so much for having me on, and thank you, too, for doing these two-hour segments. I think it's really a great way to help people get the information because there is so much people want to know and need to know.
Sure, it's our privilege, and as always, we want to hear from you in the audience. Do you want to know about how this federal aid is going to help yourself or your business? Share your story or your questions. You can send an email. Make it a brief email, please, to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. You know, Congresswoman Pingree, you are a small business owner, so you have an understanding of what this stimulus package might mean on the ground to all of Maine's small businesses. Do you believe it will make a significant difference?
Well, we're still waiting for all the final guidance from the federal government, but there's some incredibly helpful provisions in here that we may be able to hear a little bit more about when Amy from the SBA comes on the phone. But we think they'll be very helpful. The most important probably is the Paycheck Protection Program, which allows small business owners to keep their employees on the payroll, to keep paying their bills. They're basically taking out a loan, but that loan will be forgiven if the money goes to keeping people on the payroll. And there's nothing better than keeping people on the payroll, keeping, you know, businesses with some sense of security that when we come to the other side of this, they'll be able to keep operating. But there are a variety of other small business loans in there that will be helpful because we're in an emergency time. There's the first grant program ever with the SBA. There's also a huge expansion of unemployment insurance, which will cover many more people. And both between the unemployment insurance and the small business provisions, they have actually opened up to cover self-employed people, independent contractors, people who have never been covered by these programs before, but are frankly just as out of work as everybody else, and could really benefit from some of these programs. So we're anxious to have them up and running and implemented. And, you know, I know there'll be a lot of assistance in the state, and certainly our office will be standing by to help people navigate what would work best for them.
Shortly after the bill was passed, you said more work needs to be done. What do you think needs to happen next?
Well, you know, we're going to find out. I mean, I think people have asked a lot of questions about will there be a package four, you know, what would be in it. There's no question we don't know exactly how long this will take, how much money it will be, how much support this will really lend to businesses and individuals who just have to get through. But I think all of us in Congress feel it's our responsibility in this, you know, unprecedented time that we're there to support people, that the federal government keeps our economy running, and we keep people healthy and safe. So there's, you know, there's some speculation about what will be in the next thing, but I think our first focus is, hey, we've got this $2 trillion now. How quickly can we get it out the door? How can we make sure it's getting to the people who need it, and learn from them about where the holes are and what else we need to do?
Just this weekend, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said maybe by Friday getting some of this money out to small businesses. Do you see that as a reasonable and timeline, or do you think that that's not going to happen?
Well, it would be great. And like I said, we'll have Amy from the SBA, and she probably can give us a little bit better information. But from what I understand, at the federal level, in departments like the SBA, they are working overtime to try to write the procedures, the rules and regulations that really will surround all these programs. And the sooner those are written, I know we'll have everybody on the ground in Maine working as fast as they can to get the money out the door. So I think it would be wonderful if it was Friday. I certainly hope so.
All right. Well, we'll ask Amy Bassett about that in just a minute. I want to ask you about a couple specific groups of, members of the workforce. And the first is hospitality, especially seasonal workers. This is the time of year, as you well know, maybe as well as anybody, that seasonal businesses are starting to gear up, starting to hire people for the summer. How does the coronavirus emergency combined with this loan package affect those businesses, which there are so many in Maine?
Well, you can imagine that our entire delegation was very focused on the challenges we're going to face in the seasonal industry. Maine is, tourism is one of our first or second largest industries. And as you said, people are just gearing up for this season. People are in the process of hiring new workers or, setting up all the things, buying inventory for the summer, and they're really basically stopped dead in their tracks. So, again, we're waiting for the federal government to give us some exact criteria so we can help advise people. But the standards have been loosened up quite a bit, and as long as there's the ability for an individual or a business to show that their income will be affected over the next 2 or 3 months, they should be able to qualify for these programs. Again, how this will be implemented, I think, is, it's like something we've never seen before. We've never seen programs that have to design unemployment insurance for people who haven't gone to work at their new job yet, or a business that just knows it's about to suffer losses but is only beginning to put those people on the payroll. So it is confusing, and I wish I had a little bit more direction and guidance, but we certainly wrote the bill with this in mind, and everyone on the delegation from Maine was certainly keeping this in consideration because it's an unusual position to be in. And as we know, many of the hospitality businesses like restaurants in Maine are about to gear up for the summer but are already operating. And so we've tried to provide as much support as we possibly can for them. And they're being as creative as they can be. As people know, they're doing curbside, availability of food. They're doing deliveries to home. People are buying gift cards. They're doing everything they can to keep their workers on the payroll in what is an extremely challenging time. But we want to make sure that they're able to continue to operate, and that with the hope that we're beyond this challenge soon, they will be ready to operate when that time comes.
How does this bill affect farmers?
That's a good question. And we have been, we spent a lot of time in the final hours of passage working with our colleagues in the Senate and, frankly, anybody we could think of to try to make sure there was language inserted. And again, we are just waiting to find out exactly how that will implement. We hope that some of the loans that are designed to be used through the SBA will also have an application through some of the farm credit and other farm-related entities. So we would like to see farmers be able to continue with their operation, pay their bills, put people on the payroll. We also insert some money into the bill that directly covered farmers. And while the rules and regulations haven't been implemented, but that would allow for direct payments. And so we're circulating a letter as we speak with colleagues on both sides of the aisle and people who represent districts all over the country to make sure that some of that $9 billion goes to the farmers in Maine. We're particularly worried about those who sell directly to the market. And many, many farmers in Maine do. They sell directly to a restaurant, to a grocery store, to a farmer's market. or to individuals. And they're already experiencing a loss of income, many of them, but looking forward to the summer. And, you know, they got to plant now. They got to hire for the summer. This isn't something you can wait and see how things go and then decide what to do in June or July. So we're hoping there will be coverage for them. And as soon as we have more information, we'll be circulating that around. I do want to say that I think there's been really wonderful work going on. People who want to make sure they can support their local farmer are trying to do their best to buy. Farmers are doing home deliveries. They're setting up websites. I think the Cooperative Extension Service has a website just so you can find a farmer in your area who might drop off food directly to your house. To make sure that you can buy whatever they have now that they're available. It's a great way to remind us, these challenges we've had in the supply chain, how vitally important it is to support locally grown food, to have these assets in our home state, and to support the rural economy, which farmers are critical for that. Many of these programs are listed on our website. We're also doing a weekly newsletter that you can sign up for if you go to our website, and we'll try to get people the information in any way we can. But I think you've probably talked about it a little bit on this program too, but we want to stay in touch and help our farmers. Same is true for fishermen. Some of the fishermen are doing much more direct sales, and there is a package to help bail out fishermen in this program. Again, we're waiting for the information, and we're hoping that some of the fishermen will qualify for unemployment or self-employed insurance to get some coverage, not knowing what the market's going to look like in the next few months.
Since this bill was passed on Friday, what have you been hearing from your constituents? What have your staffers been hearing as they've taken phone calls and emails?
Well, we've certainly been hearing a lot. I don't think we've been as busy as we've ever been, and we want to be there for the constituents. I know that's true of all the delegations, but we have all hands on deck to help people understand these programs, to take their calls, to help direct them to places where assistance will be available, or just to answer questions whenever we can. We've heard the gamut of things, everywhere from just unthinkable misery, people who are suffering with having the disease in their own family, people who have already been out of work for a couple of weeks and just so worried about whether they can pay their rent, whether they can keep putting food on the table. And we've heard from, doctors who are just furious that there aren't sufficient supplies and worried about how to make sure we keep up the supplies we need. Small business owners who want to know, which of these programs will they qualify for, if any. Should they start laying off people now? How do they bridge their cash flow until they have that money? We've heard every possible thing already and continue to hear more. But again, our goal is just to be there for everybody who needs assurance, to keep putting information on our website, doing weekly newsletters, and ourselves trying to understand each one of these programs as they get refined and defined, and to make sure we can get you the information that you need. So that's our job. I also will say, as a member of Congress, we have spent an enormous amount of time on conference calls trying to go through every section of the bill, hearing from FEMA and the federal officials, and having a chance to vent our frustrations with them about the lack of availability of supplies or how they're being divided up state by state. Anything you might hear about on the news, we're behind the scenes on a phone call trying to get information from a person or letting them know our extreme displeasure when it's not working the way it wants. So we're on this every step of the day, and there's a lot of uncertainty, and it's a catastrophic event that most of us have never even imagined or certainly not lived through anything like this before. So we're doing our best.
I know that this is a 900-page bill, so I'm sure you don't know every single detail yet, unless you're a superhero. But I just wanted to ask, are there any measures, any parts of this bill that you're worried about, the unintended consequences?
Well, I mean, in every single provision, and, just to expand on, the thing I'm most worried about is that we don't have enough in there to get money directly to individuals as fast as possible. As you know, there are direct cash payments to people. I'm hoping that the administration gets them out quickly, that they show up in your bank account. You don't have to wait for a check to come through the mail. I'm hoping that all of these expanded provisions we put in unemployment insurance and increased payments every week really do get people closer to their salaries so that they can pay their bills. I'm hoping that we've got a lot in there that really does help small businesses, and that we haven't put in, questionable loopholes or things that people won't be able to survive with. But more than that, we have some big chunks of money that go to higher education, K through 12 education, that go directly to our state government. Maine is supposed to receive at least $1.25 billion and hopefully more, that goes to our hospitals and providers to keep them afloat. I mean, I just hope all these things work as well as we imagined they would in trying to write everything into the bill. But I have no doubt that there will be problems. There will be things that either we have to go back and correct or we'll find we didn't do enough. And then I guess the only other thing I'd say is in the section that that I was less engaged in, but the section that, you know, bails out some of the corporations, we have tried our best to get language in there that makes sure that there's adequate supervision, that there's transparency, so that we can't have any bailouts to big companies who then turn around and go bankrupt or give the money back to their stockholders or pay excessive salaries to their CEOs or do stock buybacks. It has to go directly to the people who are working, whether it's the airline industry or anywhere else, if this is really going to be successful and if the American people are going to feel confident that we can put the country back together and get things moving again.
Over the weekend, you and other members of the delegation wrote a letter to the Secretary of the Navy concerning Bath Iron Works. And I'm just wondering if you could explain further what this is about. Anybody following the news knows that many of the workers at Bath Iron Works are really frustrated that they're not able to take time off of work, especially because there has been COVID-19 in employees there. And this is sort of, it has to do with how BIW can, or maybe General Dynamics, the parent company, might be able to have some more flexibility in its decisions there.
Yeah, I mean, the defense industry and the shipyard workers have been declared an essential service, but we have, we just did send one more letter. We're another one in the works. We've sent them quite a few, asking the Navy to clarify their decision-making process, asking the Navy most recently, are they using the same guidance for the public shipyards, the ones that they control directly, like Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, as they are for the contracted shipyard work, whether it's General Dynamics, Electric Boat, some of the other shipyards around the country. More than anything else, we want the workers who work at BIW or anywhere else in the defense industry to be safe when they go to work every day. And we want to make sure the companies are following appropriate practices, keeping people distance, cleanliness, washing hands. But that is very hard in an industrial manufacturing setting. You pick up a tool, put it down, then somebody else picks up that tool and puts it down. Does everybody have a chance to wash it in between? I mean, you start to think about the complexities of this, and you just start worrying for the workers every day. I mean, one question that bothers me is, while I know our defense industry is fundamental to this country, is there any reason we couldn't put a pause on all of our shipyards, on many of our big industries, for a week, for 2 weeks, for long enough to get it in control in the places where we're most worried about. So the delegation has been very united on this and pushing on the Navy. It's a Navy directive. We just continue to ask questions because we think that there should be, very safe practices if the yards need to be open at all.
We're speaking with Congresswoman Shelley Pingree about the federal stimulus bill and other elements of the nation's response to this pandemic. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, she'll be joined by Small Business Administration Regional Director Amy Bassett, and we'll have your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Lee Auto Malls. Open for online sales and still servicing your car. Learn more at leeauto.com. And Bar Harbor Savings and Loan, dedicated to providing both traditional and modern banking services. Your community bank since 1902.
COVID-19 has changed daily life in the United States, and with news breaking by the hour, it can be hard to stay up to date. I'm Michelle Martin. Join us every weekday for a new live conversation about the disease, what you need to know, what's coming next, and we will answer your questions. The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weeknights at 9 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. During times like this, you want reliable news, the truth, a trusted source for your information. That's why you're listening to Maine Public Radio, and why you also might appreciate Maine Public Television. Each evening between 5 and 6, there's a full hour of BBC News with a global perspective on the top news of the day. Following that at 6 o'clock, there's the PBS News Hour, which is also available at 7 each evening, a full hour of in-depth analysis of the day's events and issues. The Maine Public Television Early Evening News Block schedule can be seen at mainepublic.org. Please click on the television drop-down to see it.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are talking about how federal stimulus funds will help those struggling due to the coronavirus crisis. My guest, Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, who represents Maine's 1st Congressional District. And joining us now, Amy Bassett, Maine's District Director with the U.S. Small Business Administration, or SBA. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Amy Bassett, thanks so much for joining us on the call today.
Thank you, Jen, and it's my pleasure to be here and join the Congresswoman. Thank you.
So I wanted to start by asking you, going back to what Congresswoman Pingree said in the first part of the program, I realize you all have been working furiously to make sense of this 900-page bill and to be able to actually put it into action. Do you believe that Friday is a reasonable day, that some businesses are going to start to see some of this relief?
Well, when I look back at the last 2 weeks, because for those of us at the SBA, things really started to kick off as far as help back on March 17th, when the state of Maine was the first state in the country to receive its disaster declaration through the Small Business Administration. And that at that point in time, that declaration made emergency economic injury disaster loans available to all of Maine's businesses. So it's been a whirlwind the last couple of weeks, but we know a lot of folks are applying for those loans, and we're seeing some results there. But there is certainly more to come with this bill. As we sit here currently, we are awaiting the details as well. I will say there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of information being flown around, and we are getting hundreds of inquiries in our office, as are our partners throughout the state. But we just want to be very careful about what we say, because we don't want to get ahead of things, and we don't want to give out misinformation, because that could be even more detrimental to the impacted businesses than, you know, us being first with this information.
Yes, and I should note, because this program will be rebroadcast again this evening, that we're having this conversation at 1:27 in the afternoon, and I understand some more guidance is expected for you and other, as you said, your partners this afternoon, correct?
Right. It's the term of the day has now become fluid. We get updates and information moment by moment, and we are doing our best to keep everyone updated. And just if I could expand a little bit on when I say partners, just so that the audience has an idea of all the resources that are available in Maine, all the entities that we are collaborating with. We've worked very closely with the staff of all of the members of the delegation, and we appreciate that help so much. We've worked really closely with the governor's office and the Department of Economic and Community Development to get the word out. And then we also have the SBA partners, Maine Small Business Development Center, SCORE, and the Women's Business Center, as well as all of our lending partners who are anxious for details and anxious to get out any kind of help that is available. So there is a ton of resources throughout Maine, and we are all doing our best to work together on this.
In just a minute, we'll go to more specific questions from our listeners, but I just wanted to ask you broadly, Amy, what are some tips for businesses as they're trying to ride out this storm, trying to figure out whether or not to take one of these loans? Generally, do you have overall sort of some tips on how to think about everything that's going on?
Sure. So I just want to, I know there have been a lot of people who have applied and for the economic injury disaster loan, And I just want to put out there the best place to go for any information about SBA is sba.gov/coronavirus. At this website, you'll find the most current up-to-the-minute information on all the programs. You'll be able to directly apply for the economic injury disaster loan through this site. So that's going to be the best place for folks to come to SBA for information. Additionally, we have an internal throughout Maine distribution list, and we will be sending out updates as frequently as possible. So if you visit sba.gov/ME, you can, at that page, you can sign up for email alerts from Maine SBA, and that's a great place to get the most current information as well. As far as tips, we are, as I mentioned, we are hearing from hundreds of businesses and hundreds of partners trying to help these businesses, but we are asking them to, first of all, start reaching out to their lenders, to their vendors, and these folks to see what relief, instant relief they can get there from some of these payments. The applying for the economic injury disaster loan is not a bad option at this point, and we're telling everyone to consider applying that is eligible. There is absolutely no cost to that loan, and ultimately, once the process completes itself and if that loan is approved, the business doesn't have to take it right away. So that loan could be available to them if they need it in the future. It will also put them in that pipeline for any other enhancements that might be coming to the economic injury disaster loan. And that might be something in the form of forgiveness or grant assistance. So we would certainly encourage anybody that's eligible to apply for the economic injury disaster loan at this point in time.
All right. Well, we'll start with going to Portland and Dan. Hi, Dan. Do you have a question for Congresswoman Pingree or for Amy Bassett?
Well, thanks for taking my call this afternoon. My question has most to do with our workers who are in these essential businesses and what special help there might be or resources that there might be for workers. Like, my wife and I own two small natural food stores in the Portland and Scarborough area, and we did, in an effort to just reduce the amount of contact, we closed our stores. You could still order, you know, online and come pick things up. But my question is like, I see that we're probably going to be doing this for quite a while. And even though we've reduced that contact, our workers still come into, you know, some kind of, you know, vicinity of dozens of different customers during the day. And no one, you know, we're taking all the necessary precautions, but I'm thinking, like, well into the future, will there be able to be testing for people who work in grocery stores? Or, I mean, I know we're not like in the hospital business, but, you know, people who will probably have to continue to come into, you know, constant contact, if you will, with the public, even, you know, even on a reduced basis.
Sure. Like, so, Dan, you're less interested in finding out about the financial assistance, but whether there's something coming out of Congress that might be supporting workers in frontline industries in terms of their physical health.
Well, their physical health. Are there masks, you know, more masks and gloves available, which, you know, we can't even get now.
But sure. I'm going to pose that question to Congresswoman Pingree, but then also in our next hour, we have General Farnham, who's at the head of Maine's Emergency Management Agency. Congresswoman Pingree, go ahead.
Well, it's an excellent question, and it's just another good chance to recognize you know, the people who are keeping us all safe. There's no more important direction right now than to stay home, don't go out if you can help it, keep a distance from other people, you know, do everything you can to stop the spread of the virus. But the fact is, we're all dependent on the food supply. We're all dependent, obviously, on all the hospital workers and people who are going to work every day, and a whole plethora of people who are still out there doing things, and their safety is number one for us. Unfortunately, you know, one of the challenges, and I don't have to get into all the politics of this, but we certainly weren't well enough prepared for this, so we don't have sufficient protective supplies and we don't have sufficient testing. But it is the number one concern, I would say, for, you know, virtually every member of Congress, every state, everyone trying to get up to speed on the testing. And as you've seen, there are new developments, there are, you know, actions coming into place that will hopefully get us to a situation sooner rather than later where testing can be much more universal, where people will know much more about their own safety, about whether they should be staying at home, you know, and may not be seeing the symptoms but might be communicating the disease. And the sooner we can do that, the better off we will all be. And when it comes to the PPE, the masks, the gloves, obviously, again, our first concern was to make sure that they were with the hospital workers and practitioners, everybody who's on the front line. But clearly, we want to get further on that supply so that this becomes somewhat more of a way that we're all taking much more precautions. Clearly, anybody who's in the retail business and still open is cleaning and trying to keep their distance. But I think the opportunity to be wearing a mask or gloves will be helpful to people. Now, I have seen, as you have been talking about and others have, there are entities in Maine that are ramping up on masks. There are people who are doing, you know, some home production of masks, and while they may not be the right thing for those doctors in the intensive care units, they might be just the right thing if you're out just working with the public or you yourself has to go out and wants to be more careful and more safe. So I think we're changing a lot of our practices. I want to see us doing this faster than we are, but again, I just think we all have to give a huge thank you to those people who are willing to keep their businesses open, whether they're having customers come in or they're delivering to you. They're all taking on a higher level of challenge, and we want to support them in any way we can.
Dan, thank you so much for your call, and good luck to you. We have an email here from Richard. How can a small business owner hope for a forgivable loan, which requires keeping employees on the payroll, when their minimum wage employees have already signed up for unemployment, stand to make an attractive $900 a week, and are probably unwilling to return? Would that forgivable loan cover a matching increase in employee compensation in addition to the other business expenses, rent, utilities, etc.? Which of you wants to tackle that one first? We're hearing that kind of question from a lot of people.
Well, I will just say quickly, and maybe Amy has a few more details to fill in, but there are a plethora of programs, and for whether you're a individual who's suddenly found yourself out of work, fisherman, farmer, you know, arts worker, woodcutter, anything, deciding whether or not one of these forgivable loans is better for you or unemployment insurance, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made, and it is quite difficult to give people the best of advice until we've seen how each one of these programs will be implemented and if there are, you know, loopholes that mean like, oh, actually, that wouldn't be the best one for you. On this question of the extended unemployment insurance, so just to be clear, because, and again, you know, the State Unemployment Insurance Bureau does not have all the guidance yet either, although they're hoping for it very soon. But you could be making coverage from Maine, and then because of this federal bill, there will be an additional $600 added on to your paycheck. I think there was, in the passage of this bill, we had a little bit of a struggle getting that through because some members of the Senate said, oh, we can't give people more money, they'll never go back to work. Well, A, this is a limited period of time. This isn't unemployment insurance for the rest of your life, and certainly not the additional $600 for the rest of your life. So I think we just have to stop that myth right now. Second, we have to remember that people would prefer to go to work. We're not, you know, Mainers aren't lazy. They want to be part of helping out the solution, and they want to go back to work as soon as they can. So I don't think we should be talking about our workers in that way. But an individual employer will have to make the decision about either the flexibility of having their employees on unemployment insurance. In some situations, you can have people on partial unemployment insurance and continue to pay their benefits. There are going to be a whole variety of solutions, and I'm sorry we may not know all the answers for yet another week. But they were designed to make sure that we could give the maximum support for people who literally often live paycheck to paycheck and are going to worry right away about putting food on the table, paying their rent, being able to survive, and also Maine small business owners who are going to struggle to want to keep their employees on the payroll but have no income coming in the door. And many of them, you know, the income stopped 2 weeks ago, and so they're in tough, tough situations. So, you know, there are a lot of decisions yet to be made, and I wish I had an answer today, but I hope we'll have a lot more answers by the end of the week. And I just want to say again, these are things that are coming from the federal government, the guidance, and the entities in Maine, whether it's the SBA and the wonderful people who work there, the unemployment insurance people, you know, all of the state agencies that have to figure out how to implement this are doing their best to build up capacity and be ready for all of it. They're just waiting for the guidance to start moving it forward.
All right, Amy, anything to add to that?
I would just again echo I know it's hard to say, but please be patient. There are more details to come. But the only other thing I would add is, as I mentioned, we've been sort of actively working with small businesses in this space for the last 2 weeks. And more often than not, their first current concern is their employees, whether or not to lay them off, whether or not to rehire them. So we know that this is a big concern and this is a big question. And we have provided this kind of input, all the input we've heard from small businesses, to the folks that are trying to put these pieces into place in DC. So we are aware of these concerns and just know that we are hoping to see those details as soon as possible so we can answer some of these questions as soon as possible.
An email here from Maura. I work in aquaculture and have some questions. For the assistance of fisheries participants, how can the money set aside for fisheries be accessed? Is it simply set aside for fisheries, but we apply through the SBA disaster assistance loan or some other program? And are there other programs or benefits in the bill that are lesser known that small businesses should be aware of? So I'll have you start there, Amy. If someone's in aquaculture, is that indeed the right place to start, the SBA disaster assistance loan?
So the quick answer is yes. For the economic injury disaster loans, aquaculture businesses are eligible to apply. So certainly apply. And again, as I mentioned, these loans can be up to $2 million. It's a fixed interest rate. There's a lot of potentially good things in that that could only be enhanced in the future, but it isn't an incorrect thing to apply. It takes a bit of time for the process to go through. And once you're in the system, SBA will definitely be keeping everyone apprised of things that change in the works. And also, it's a good idea to put that loan in place as they can be modified in the future. You don't have to take them in the future. And again, there is no cost to apply.
We're going to take another quick break. You are listening to a special two-hour Maine Calling. During this hour, we're talking about federal aid during this crisis. Our guests are Congresswoman Shelley Pingree and Amy Bassett, who is District Director of the Maine Office of the U.S. SBA. When we come back, more of your questions and comments. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Modern Pest Services, offering a non-toxic approach to pest control with Anti-CMEX Smart Pest Control technology. ModernPest.com.
On This Day in Maine's History is brought to you in partnership with the Maine Historical Society.
Scientist Ellen Swallow Richards died on March 30, 1911. She was an early pioneer in nutrition, sanitation, and public health. She applied and was admitted to Massachusetts Institute of Technology in 1870, and upon acceptance, they waived her tuition because they did not want to have a female student on the official school roster. She was the first female student admitted to the school. She is nationally credited for making important contributions to the understanding of environmental systems. She is buried in Gardner, Maine.
On This Day in Maine's History is made possible through the generous support of Thomaston Place Auction Galleries and Maine Maritime Museum. Happy birthday, Maine!
With coronavirus physical distancing practices now in place all around our state, you may find that you have young ones around the house more than usual. Might we suggest a couple of valued educational resources that will make their time worthwhile? Maine Public's PBS Kids 24/7 is a free over-the-air television channel that is a wonderful learning environment with trusted educational, non-commercial programming for those younger folks. PBS Learning Media is a free online educational K-12 learning resource with material and lessons for children and young adults of all ages. You'll find PBS Learning Media at mainpublic.org. Please click on the Education drop-down. Enjoy!
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today in this hour, we are talking with Congresswoman Shelley Pingree and the Small Business Administration's Amy Bassett. What are your questions about the new federal aid package and what it means? Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. I'm going to go to Ricky, who's calling from Augusta. Hi, Ricky. Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to thank Congresswoman Pingree for all her tireless effort and the work that she's doing for us Mainers. I really appreciate it. I have a two-part question. The first part is, I was out of work all of 2019 due to a car accident, and I just started working for a small used car dealership cleaning cars. I started in February, and they closed the business down 2 weeks ago because nobody is out shopping buying cars. Am I eligible to file for unemployment?
As far as I know, you will qualify. It sounds to me like you are one of those people in exactly the situation that this was expanded for. Those are people who had a job, just recently started a job, but find themselves unable to go to work because of the virus. So I think you are absolutely one of the people who qualified. There's also an extension. So even if you were on unemployment insurance before during this period of time, there is an extension. So again, I don't want to be the one who gives you bad information, and I appreciate the importance of not doing that. But you're certainly one of the people who should be contacting the Unemployment Bureau in Maine. One little caveat I will say about that is, because some of these programs are changing, they're not all online yet at the Bureau of Unemployment, so you kind of have to keep watching to make sure that they've opened up. You may be someone who qualifies for the new program, but if you apply for the old program, you'll get rejected, so don't give up on it. Just wait to see when the program opens up, and I'm quite sure you'll be covered.
Ricky, thank you for your call. Oh, go ahead, Ricky. Do you want to know when?
Where do I go to? I've never filed for unemployment, and I've worked in my entire life except for last year.
Sure, Ricky, and Congresswoman Pingree, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's the Department of Labor. Go onto their website, and there is a whole big form there. Also, Maine Calling has a bunch of resources on. We had Commissioner Fortman on the program last week, so if you look on our website, mainecalling.org, you can find that information. They have a great big backlog on their phone calls right now because they're so overwhelmed. Commissioner Fortman was encouraging people to do this, if at all possible, online. I'm going to go to, let's see here, Ellen on Facebook. She says, as a small business owner, sole proprietor, sole employee in a small brick-and-mortar bookstore, I find myself weighing the pros and cons of a disaster loan. Even with a low interest rate, will I be able to pay it and keep up with rent, utilities, and the other normal costs of business? Amy, what are your thoughts for Ellen? I'm sure there are many like her.
That is a frequent question that we've heard a lot the last couple of weeks, and we understand that there are decisions to make. But what that economic injury disaster loan is really designed to do is to help small businesses bridge that period of time when they're impacted. So not only does that loan, and I know it's a loan, we've heard from a lot of folks that are not interested in debt, and I respect that, but sometimes it makes sense to consider it. And so that economic injury disaster loan is not only designed to kind of look back, because some businesses were impacted prior to March 17th when all this began happening. So it looks back at the impact, and then it looks forward as far as how long it potentially could take for a small business to recover. And what are those bills that are going to need to be paid? What's that working capital need that's going to need to be addressed for that business to recover? The other important thing to remember about the economic injury disaster loan is that it comes with a built-in 12-month deferment of payments. So what I mean by that is, once that loan is approved, a business, as I mentioned, doesn't have to take it right away. They do have up to 6 months to decide whether or not they want to take that loan. And also in that interim, if things change, they will be notified. But if they decide to take that loan and the loan is closed and they are disbursed funds, they will not need to make any payments on that loan for 12 months. And that is, again, designed to give businesses time to recover before they have to immediately start making a debt payment. And the terms of these loans can be up to 30 years. So they're trying to make those payments as affordable as possible.
And let me ask a follow-up question on behalf of Ellen. I don't know if this is her question, but as you were telling me the answer. I was wondering, I understand that many of these loans can be never have to be paid back if someone decides to use the money to continue to pay his or her employees. If you are a sole proprietorship and you use that money to continue to pay yourself, does that count?
Well, I can answer some of that because that is the that's the Paycheck Protection Program loan, and that's the one that Amy is anxiously awaiting for the guidance, and I hope it'll show up this afternoon. But that is the new program that's created under this, under the CARES Act, and it's we put $350 billion in there, which allows you, as a business owner, to, as long as you keep the payroll going and you use the money in the loan for things like overhead expenses, you know, you don't build a new facility with it or do something like that, then that is actually forgiven at the end of the period. The challenge with this is that we haven't seen the guidance, so there is the desire for that on the Congress's part, which was to make sure that if people kept their employees on the payroll, they didn't get stuck with a long-term loan, but it was forgiven. And then there's what the actual guidance will say. I have a fair amount of confidence in it because it was the provision that got some of the most work in this SBA section of the big bill, but it will be most helpful when we see exactly the language. It does, in the language of the bill, say it covers self-employed people. So even the caller who just called in would be covered by it because you yourself can be your employee.
Great.
I just want one other thing, Jennifer. You mentioned the person earlier asked about aquaculture, and there's a whole other section in the bill that's another $300 million just to help fisheries and aquaculture. Again, we're waiting for guidance, but we do anticipate that with some of the challenges going on in the market that, you know, anybody from a lobster fisherman, a clammer, a worm digger, or a small business related to oyster growing or anything else may have some challenges here. And as soon as we have more information on how that money is spent, we'll want to make sure we get it right out.
All right. We'll go to Richard calling from Sebago Lake. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. We last spoke during your last gardening show last summer. But I'm retired. I just get a Social Security check. I don't have any other income. And I'm wondering if I'll be eligible for the one-time $1,000 or $1,200 payment that the government is sending out?
Yes, you will.
Okay.
Yes, you will.
I already get direct deposit, so I assume I don't have to do anything.
You're supposed to get it through direct deposit. If there is any problem with it, you're also supposed to get a notice through the mail that it was sent. So if, in fact, it doesn't reach you, you'll have a piece of paper to ask where it is. And again, if you have any questions about it, we're happy to answer it. Or if you don't see it, let us know.
Richard, good luck. Thank you. We'll go to David, who's calling from Falmouth. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Yes.
David, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I certainly echo Ricky's appreciation for Representative Pingree's outstanding work on behalf of Maine over the years. And want to note that while public health professionals are indicating that we're still in the early stages of confronting this pandemic, and there's certainly a number of scenarios possible how everything unfolds over the coming months, it seems clear that we're really in uncharted waters, and it seems only prudent to begin to plan now for how we can best ensure that the elections in November are held in a way that ensures both the health of our country's citizens as well as our democracy. And while there was some funding included in last week's legislation, I'm wondering what else can be done by Congress to require that states make no excuse mail-in voting available to all voters and to provide.
Okay, David, I'm going to let Congresswoman Pingree answer. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for your kind words, but you're right, that's a huge consideration. It became a little bit of a partisan fight, but I hope we'll be able to continue on. I think there's $400 billion in there. To help us to move forward on no-fault mail-in ballots. But as you know, if this continues or if we have some other challenge in the future, it's been made very clear to us that we have to make sure we have a way that people can vote and can vote safely. So both that isn't as large as we wanted, and we also wanted more support for the post office because we're depending on them now more than ever, and they need our help, and they need to be there in times like this when people have to be sure that they get a ballot and be able to do it through the mail. So we'll continue to work on that, and it's an extremely important thing, I think, for the future of our democracy.
David, thank you for your call. We're getting close to the end of the hour, so I'm going to try to ask some quick questions. Here's Ann on Facebook. I keep hearing references to small businesses, sole proprietorships. My small business is an LLC, not a sole proprietorship. Are LLCs covered in any of the various programs?
I think so, but maybe Ann should be specific, just to be clear.
I would say we have had a lot of people looking at, you know, very specific, what is their type of business and are they eligible? We're just saying small businesses are eligible. So whether you are a sole proprietorship, whether you're an LLC, whether you, and it really is, do you file business tax returns? Are you a business? That's sort of the criteria and the baseline that we're starting with. But certainly anyone who's either a single member or a full-fledged LLC would be eligible to apply.
We have Liz on Facebook. While not essential services, the recreation opportunities offered by registered Maine guides are a draw for tourism in our state. Maine guides are largely self-employed. How will we and other seasonal self-employed people know when we can file for unemployment assistance for our anticipated earnings?
Hopefully as soon as this should come very soon. Again, I would keep your eye on the unemployment website for the state of Maine, because the new guidance as they're up and available will be there, and you should be able to find a way to apply there and should be qualified for it. Again, just as a reminder to people, if you file early and you're rejected, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be covered eventually. It just may mean that you got your application in there prior to when these new things were fully formed.
Sandy on Facebook asks, is unemployment available for professionals who are asked to voluntarily furlough?
Yes, I think so. But again, I don't want to give the wrong answer, but yes, I think so.
Okay. From Jeannie, an email. I'm very appreciative of the stimulus package, but how is the federal government going to pay for it?
It's a huge question. I mean, I wish I knew the answer on that, but I think, you know, the motivation of members of Congress and came together in a bipartisan way faster than we ever have before is that our country is in deep, deep trouble, and doing nothing would be so much more devastating to the economy, not making sure that we're supporting the health of American people, getting the medical care people the supplies that they need, and doing our best to keep the economy alive when it really has to be shut down is our primary purpose. And our second goal will be to make sure that we can continue to stay afloat. So we're just doing our best as fast as we can.
An email from Jean. Will Congress consider giving financial aid to school districts and state colleges that are overwhelmed with developing online learning and aiding their students? And what kind of help for these college students with student loans for a shortened school year?
Yeah, so there is a big part of the package that goes to higher education and K through 12 education, and it covers many of those things that the caller asked about. At K through 12, it's a lot of how we do better with distant learning, how do we supply, you know, more broadband for the communities that need it, how do we get laptops into the hands of kids who don't already have it. At the higher ed level, it's how do we keep some of these institutions afloat. And yes, there is forbearance on student loans. It's different depending on the kind of loan that you have, but all federal loans are covered under this, and there will be more guidance on that. Most importantly, on all of these things, particularly for an individual, while there may be assistance on making sure that your loan doesn't have to be paid, your credit card bill, your loan from the bank, the most important thing is to call as soon as you can to let them know that you're challenged. I think there will be a lot of sympathetic ears out there, but you don't want to get too far behind on too many things and then not qualify for the forbearance when it's there.
Steve and Wilton, I'm going to ask you to ask your question as quickly as possible. Go ahead.
Yes, many small businesses are funded through owner financing, and I've seen there's guidance for bank loans and assistance for bank loans on the website, but it doesn't mention anything about owner financing loans.
Do you know, Amy, quickly, an answer to that?
When people apply for the economic injury disaster loan, which could potentially have some of these payment forgiveness options, we tell them to include all debt, regardless of the type of debt, so that it can be factored in, and the loan analyst will have all the pertinent information to make the right decision.
All right. Well, Steve, thanks for your question. And I want to ask both you, Amy, and you, Congresswoman Pingree, there's so many questions we haven't been able to get to in this hour. Where can someone go for help? And any resource that you give, I will put on our main calling, or our web team will put on the main calling webpage. Amy.
So as far as we know, there's a lot of interest in the pieces that SBA is getting ready to work on here. So I would say sba.gov/coronavirus is the best place to get the exact information that is coming through the Small Business Administration. And then additionally, for if you want points of contact in Maine, our email address for Maine is maine_do@sba.gov. And then our Maine phone line is 207-622-8551.
And Congresswoman Pingree, I assume people can call your office. We just have a couple seconds.
Yes, yes. And go to pingree.house.gov, 774-5019. Sign up for our newsletter, which comes out once a week, or you will see, you can click on our website and see all the latest updates on links that we have to help you with coronavirus-related problems. So we'll do everything we
can
to help.
Stay with us. We'll be back after news.